Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Well, fresh up from neighboring Lancaster County, after battling all the traffic on Highway 5 is one of our regulars that we get in here at least annually, Steve Willis, who is the county administrator, a job you've held for 15 years?
15 years.
As you say, you were born and bred and will die in Lancaster That's County. Right.
Lancaster born, Lancaster bred, and when I die, I'll be Lancaster dead.
So the traffic was bad, huh? Does that surprise you?
Not really with some of the growth, but still it just takes getting used to it. It takes a little longer to get to Rock Hill than it used to.
Yeah. Which brings up, you know, you've heard this discussion over the last decade or two about connecting Highway 521 with basically I-77 and Dave Law Boulevard and all that. There have been so many studies about that. Clemson's done one. USC's done one. Winthrop University's had done one. The costs were shared by Lancaster County and York County. And, you know, all the indicators were this would be a good deal for everybody involved.
Yeah.
But it never got off the ground because the cost is so expensive.
The cost was amazing, and as time has gone on, I'm not sure where you'd put the road because the original alignment years and years and years ago was going to connect the 521 right through the middle of Sun City. Well, that's not going to happen. And then the last alignment was coming south towards Osceola, but now there's residential development in there. So I'm not sure it's even possible anymore. And plus, on the York side, y'all got the new park and everything, so I don't know they would be interested in having a major highway go through that park area.
Yeah. Well, you've got, I guess you call it a missed opportunity. The last time I heard an estimate on that thing, it was, and this has got to be probably close to 10 years ago. It seems to me it was about $250 million to do it then. Can you imagine what it would be today?
I would hate to even think.
Whew. All right. So we'll just continue to struggle with good old Highway 5. Boy, that thing's a mess. Okay, so speaking of a mess, let's start off by talking about what every municipality, every county, every state is going to be going through here very shortly, called redistricting. Now, you are like everybody else. You're waiting for the numbers from the Census Bureau?
The latest we're hearing, August 15th or 16th, one of those 2 days, we should get the data. Once we have that, the process is we have to take the current districts, populate all the new information, and then we'll see how far out of alignment each district is. The issue is the Indian Land Panhandle area has grown so much. If the demographic projections hold true, they currently have 2 council seats. They will have 3. That's pretty much a given unless the census comes back with some astonishing data. So we have 1 council member that's going to be retiring at the end of 22. It's Councilman Larry Honeycutt, District 4. District 4 will basically just pick up and move north, and that will be our 3rd seat up there. We hit the same thing back in 2011 when Indian Land only had 1 seat, and with some of the population growth that had to have a 2nd, Rudy Carter retired, was not running for re-election, and Rudy's district moved north. That's why the numbers are out of alignment. We got 1 and 7 up there. Well, next time, assuming council approves, we'll have 1, 4, and 7 up there. And that means the other districts in the south will have to grow Alan Blackman in District 6 has the southern end of Lancaster County, could well end up geographically with about a third of the county.
Oh, my goodness gracious. So the population of Lancaster County, what are you anticipating it to be?
Well, the official July estimate from the census, now this is July 1, 2020, was 100,926. Given some of our apartments and everything, I think that's low. I think we're going to end up 102, somewhere in there.
Okay. Now, if you take a look at the Indian land area, what percentage of that population do you think is in Indian land?
Probably close to 40 to 45,000.
Whoa, really?
Could be. We're in a growing area, and it's one of those things, like you mentioned, it's a problem. But it's a problem I'd like to have as opposed to some of the others. If you look at the projections, and again, these were projections. We'll find out for sure next month. Jasper County was the fastest growing county in the state, 4.27%. A little unusual, but you know, they've got the spillover from Hilton Head down there. Number two, Horry County. Normally they're number one. Right. Number three was Berkeley. No surprise there. And dadgum York County, they edged us out by 100th point. York had 2.70% growth. We had 2.69. So York was fourth fastest in the state. We were fifth fastest. So, but if you look at all the 46 counties, if the census projections hold true, 22 of the 46 lost population.
Say that again?
22 of the 46 counties shrank in population, if those projections hold true.
Wow.
And out of the rest, 12 grew less than 1%. So you've got some areas, the Richland, Lexington, the Greenville, Spartanburg, Charleston, Horry, Buford area, growing leaps and bounds. York and Lancaster is in that group. The rest of the state is not growing very much. That's something I saw the Senate met yesterday to start on their work. The House will start in August. We're going to be picking up a third House seat in Lancaster County. Right now we've got 44 and 45, but if you look at Brandon Newton's district, he's got enough people in his district to be two House districts by himself.
Ooh,
and then, of course, you throw in the growth over here in York County. There's going to be some House seats moving, and there's more than likely down in the PD area, House seats are just going to disappear, and it's going to be brutal.
So when you talk about, I mean, if your numbers are right, if you have roughly 102,000 people in Lancaster mm-hmm. County, and you got 45,000 of those in Indian land, I mean, is it possible that your county council could have four seats from Indian land?
At this point, I think they're going to have three. They may have a piece of a fourth. No. I don't think the numbers are going to be there for a full fourth seat. Now, in 2030, who knows? But the growth is certainly moving south.
Yeah. Well, let's start. One of the follow-up question. When you get that much representation from Indian land, three seats, mm-hmm. that has got to kind of change the dynamics of policy that you have to implement as the county administrator.
Right. One of the things you see, particularly in the Panhandle area, is more of an urban population versus the rural population. Lancaster historically has been a rural county, but especially over the last 10 years, the transition is there, becoming more urbanized.
Well, in fact, it was just a couple of years ago that Indian land tried to incorporate themselves. Yeah. It didn't pass, but what need would they have to incorporate if they have enough representation on the council to say we're going to do this and we're going to do that?
Well, they've still got about 10 years to go before they might take over council. The big thing is under South Carolina law to get urban services, becoming a city is about it. They don't do special purpose district like the St. Andrews district down in Charleston anymore. So if you want that higher level of service, if you want more law enforcement officers, because the sheriff's office basically has a rural setting to it. It's got to cover the whole county.
Right.
And the citizens in Indian Land are not paying more in taxes, at least, you know, by millage. The millage is the same whether you're in Indian Land or Kershaw. So you've got to try to treat people equally.
Oh, yeah.
Fire service, going from a volunteer service to a career service is amazingly expensive. Cities are set up for that. Counties generally are not.
Right.
So that issue may come back up in the not-too-distant future.
Well, I know here in York County, they have, over the last few years, been adding some dollars to have some paid firemen in some of these rural. They have to do it to maintain the ISO ratings.
Right. We have done the same. We now have 10 firefighters that are Monday through Friday daytime firefighters.
Right.
Starting in the next budget, more than likely, we're going to start adding some 24/7 firefighters. It's just getting harder for the volunteers because in the rural area, back when everybody was a farmer, ran their own business, if you had a fire in the daytime, you just closed up and went to the fire.
Right.
You can't do that anymore. It's getting harder and harder to get volunteer firefighters, and I think you're going to see that transition. Y'all are seeing it in York ahead
sure.
of us.
Absolutely. So just to round out this redistricting conversation, you're going to take the new data. You're going to, you know, come up with a plan based on all the districts that you have. But that plan has to be approved by the state?
Not anymore.
Really?
They did away with that. Last time, and we had to go through preclearance with the Department of Justice. Preclearance has been done away with. Now, we still have the Voting Rights Act. One of the things we have to look at is District 2, which is our minority district. If we just tried to get away from it, we could still be sued. Now, we will consult with the South Carolina Department of Revenue and Fiscal Affairs to make sure we haven't overlooked something in that process. But it doesn't require state approval. It doesn't require federal approval anymore.
So the council would approve the districts?
Council approves the districts.
Isn't that something? Well, that makes the process quicker, doesn't it? You don't have to worry about Uncle Sam getting involved with the thing.
It was, in ways it was good, in ways it was bad. I kind of liked having the preclearance because you had a little bit of flexibility.
Right.
Last time in 2011, you could have 2% variation in your districts. And we actually underpopulated the Panhandle districts by 2%, overpopulated the other ones by 2%, to account for growth.
Okay. All right.
Without preclearance, you have to try to match the districts up as equally as possible. So the areas that are experiencing growth within a year or two, they're back out of alignment.
Let's switch gears here and talk about your budget. You're into a new fiscal year. Give me some highlights as to what the Lancaster County Council approved.
Well, first of all, it was a reassessment year.
Oh, yeah.
So that was a real fun thing. Our millage actually decreased. You have to do that as part of the reassessment.
Well, it's called the constant yield rate.
Last year was 88.7 mils. This year it's 84.3.
Right.
Now, everybody always gets excited and says, hey, my taxes are going down. Well, it depends because valuations have gone up. The value of a mill went from about $360,000 to a little over $400,000. So it depends on what your property values did. Millage has decreased, and that's the only thing council controls. Property values are, you know, market-driven.
Right. So when we talk about all this growth, which is driving these assessments to go up, it's obvious what's going on in Indian Land. What is not obvious to a lot of people who particularly don't live in Lancaster County is what is happening to the south. In fact, if you go just below where Highway 5 and 521 intersect, about 2 miles, you will see a massive, and I do underscore the word massive, new development underway. Tell me about that.
Lennar is doing that project. It's called Roslyn, and I don't recall the exact acreage, but it's about 2,000 homes. That is underway. One of the things that's going to be a transformational change in that whole area, when you have that many homes, you can't do septic. So they're running sewer line from there back down to the City of Lancaster sewer plant. So everything from there back towards the City of Lancaster just opened up for development because it will have sewer.
Wait a minute. How many? Is it a mile, 2 miles, 5 miles? What is that?
5 or 6 miles.
Oh, they ran water and sewer lines down there? My God, that's a huge expenditure.
It's a large expense, but they feel it's worth it. The Water and Sewer District recognizes that there's going to be more growth in that area. They're actually upsizing that line a little bit.
So they just made everybody else's property between them and the downtown area more valuable.
Just made it more valuable, and some is already starting to change hands.
Isn't that something? Wow.
So I think that, you know, over the next 2 or 3 years, you're going to see a lot more growth. Even into the City of Lancaster, they're seeing some pretty big growth they haven't seen in decades.
All right, tell me a little bit more about this Lennar project. When do you, what time frame do you see homes actually being available for sale?
Wow, you need to get John Hardy on the program.
I do.
I would anticipate probably within the next year and a half, you're going to see some homes going vertical, at least in the first phase. That is also the location we worked with them. We've talked about having a regional sports complex. It's going to be in there. We have 83 acres that the county owns. We bought from Lennar, and they gave us a very attractive price because it obviously would be an amenity for them. But it's going to be our first stab at doing something along the lines that Rock Hill did years and years ago with Cherry Park.
So do you know yet what this regional sports complex is going to be? Is it going to be an indoor thing, outdoor thing?
Outdoor.
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 Like tennis courts and pickleball courts.
A lot of baseball, soccer.
Kind of like a Cherry
Park. Tennis, disc golf.
Yeah.
Again, it's our first stab at what Rock Hill did 30 years ago.
Well, as everybody has learned, that's what people want. That's the quality of life thing they're talking about. So 2,000 homes. No, it's 2,000 acres. How many homes are going to be in there?
It was 2,000 homes. I'm not sure the acreage.
Oh, my gosh.
2,000 homes in that one subdivision.
That's a big chunk of land.
That's
going to be huge. Big chunk of land. Well, I'll tell you what. We got to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax. You're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And as Steve Willis knows, we make fresh subs and salads 6 days a week here at Substation 2. The magical formula right there on the cue card. We're going to bellow it out at the count of three. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. He's got it. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax, you're home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 410646.
These days, there are plenty of ways to stay connected to the internet. Laptops, phones, tablets, games, you name it. But the more devices you use in your home, the tougher it is to get a strong, consistent Wi-Fi signal. Comporium's premium Wi-Fi kit adds multiple Wi-Fi access points throughout your home, eliminating dead zones and interference, while spreading your signal more evenly so you can enjoy a better online experience. Right now, get our premium Wi-Fi for only $9.99 per month. Premium Wi-Fi from Comporium. Connect your whole home.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
Our common sense investing is not designed to take your life savings, roll the dice, and make you rich. We design a plan to keep the standard of living you have grown accustomed to the same throughout your retirement, be it 20, 30, or even 40 more years. Anderson Griggs Investments, 324-5044, or online at andersongriggs.com.
Wow, have things changed over the last year? This is Charlie Ruffalo. We're thankful for all your support through this situation, but we've come to a crossroad. Starting immediately, we will close on Sundays. This will allow us time to perform necessary maintenance and deep cleaning, and also give us time to prepare for the week to come. But we're still willing to do caterings for special events on Sundays. We apologize for any inconvenience this may cause. But remember, we're still open Monday to Saturday. So come enjoy the best subs and salads in town. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Steve Willis is with us. He is the county administrator for Lancaster County. Before we get off this growth thing, we talked about what's happening up in Indian Land. We talked about what's happening halfway between Indian Land and downtown Lancaster with this great big Roslyn development, which is underway. And I'm stunned by the fact that they're hooking up water and sewer all the way down to the city, basically, which makes all that property more valuable instantly. So what is happening in the downtown area you were telling me about, or just south of downtown?
Well, of course, that's inside the city of Lancaster.
Right.
That is an opportunity zone, and they are looking at redeveloping down there. It's going to be the small business. I don't think you'll ever see the large retail come back downtown. As part of the capital sales tax three, we have $1.5 million that we're programmed to work with the city of Lancaster to redevelop the 100 block of West Gay Street. And it's going to become kind of the festival location, look kind of like the appearance would be like Camp North End up in Charlotte. The idea would be long-term reprogram all of West Gay Street along those lines, because you have the new cultural arts center down there, the historical jail, swimming pools at the end, trying to make it more of a cultural arts type neighborhood.
So those plans are just being developed as we speak?
Just developing. The city has engaged a consultant. They have a downtown redevelopment plan, but it's just now getting started. And of course, the big question is always funding. How are you going to do that?
Always gets down to money, doesn't it?
Yep.
Okay, so we've got all that underway. Now, I can't leave out the impact. I just had, I'm trying to remember the gentleman's name. Can't think of his name right now. Your counterpart in Chester County, I had Robert D. Long up here, who's the Economic Development Director of Chester County. And we talked about this Gallo project.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? 650 acres they bought there, something like that. They're going to build a whole great big everything. It's going to employ, say, 500 people.
Yep.
It is literally right across the river on Highway 9 from Lancaster County.
Absolutely.
So are you anticipating an impact from that?
Tremendous. Their wastewater will actually be coming back to the city of Lancaster plant. That involves the Water and Sewer District, city of Lancaster. Doesn't involve the county directly. But out of all those jobs, because of the proximity to Lancaster, I think at least half, if not a little more, of those jobs may well go to Lancaster residents. We're already seeing the impact at our airport because the Gallo folks like to fly in on private jets. Our airport is literally on the river on our side. And so they can hop off their plane, hop in a car, mile and a half, they're at their plant.
Boy, that can't any better than that, can you?
It just, if only they had just put it on our side, they could have just walked across the road. But
don't be greedy now. Don't be greedy. Well, and Lancaster County has a great airport. has a fabulous airport. All right, so that's going to be unfolding over the next few years for sure.
Going to be unfolding. I think it's going to be, again, a transformational change. Chester is seeing, you know, some phenomenal growth.
Yeah.
GD Tire, they have the Gallo plant. They have a number of other projects on going on.
Wood products.
But
place.
It's like with our Panhandle area and then working with, you know, the York County Economic Development folks, Rock Hill, rising tide lifts all boats.
Exactly right.
And just because something's in another county doesn't mean folks from another county are not going to be working there.
No.
So we've seen that with Red Ventures. We have a number of North Carolina residents come to work in Red Ventures. But the whole area benefits. We've always looked at economic development. I think most of the counties do. It's not an us versus them game. It's a we game.
There you go. Perfect perspective. Very quickly, because I don't want to run out of time, impact fees. How are you doing with those?
Those passed Monday night for the county impact fees. The school impact fees will come up for first consideration on August the 9th at the next council meeting. But this county impact fees passed. We actually have three different districts, all of them north of the city of Lancaster. Immediately north of the city, we base these off fire districts. We have the Shiloh Zion Fire District, the Riverside Fire District, and the Camp Creek Fire District. And those will be for recreational only.
Okay.
Those only apply to residences. They do not apply to commercial or industrial.
Right.
And for a new single-family detached house, it would be $784. Payable at the time you get your building permit. It's not an annual thing. It's a one-time fee for construction. And we always try to remind folks, if you had something like a house fire, God forbid, you have to rebuild. If you're rebuilding back the same square footage, we don't charge an impact fee for that.
So will that district include Roslyn?
That would include Roslyn.
Okay. All right. $754?
$764.
Moving
north from there, the Indian Land and Van Wyck Fire Districts will have recreation, but they will also have an impact fee for law enforcement, EMS, and fire. Fire being the most expensive, but when you have to spend $2 million for a ladder truck, it gets a little expensive to run a fire station. For a single-family detached home, the fee would be $1,943. For non-residential, it varies based on the square foot and the type of occupancy. Ranges all the way from traditional retail, $1,765 per 1,000 square feet, down to $107 per 1,000 square feet for a warehouse.
Yeah. All right, so that's going to
get that. Is a little less because they had some bond money already invested in a fire station up there. $1,777 for the house.
All right. So those are in place.
Those are in place.
All right. And it's going to be gone. Very quickly, we've got about 30 seconds left here.
Okay.
You actually are going to, the county is actually looking for a new county administrator.
They are looking for a new administrator as we speak. The search committee is meeting at the end of the month. If everything goes well, we'll have a new administrator mid-October to mid-November time frame. I'm retiring at the end of 22. And will become the deputy administrator to help with a transition period during my final year.
Well, good. You have to bring the new person up here, and we'll break him in around the Straight Talk table, all right?
Absolutely. That's one of the first stops. We'll be here, Straight Talk.
Steve Willis, thanks for all that you do. Appreciate you being here with us today. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Fresh subs and salads 6 days a week here at Substation 2. They decided to close on Sunday for some reason. I can't figure that out. Anyway, we'll discuss that later. But the way they do it 6 days a week is pretty simple. 1, 2, 3. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.